This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's not so bad, Mr. Shaking, who took us.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
I'm ready for sex.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear us in our brand new free app. Get us at the App Store. Get us at Google Play. Or get us at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you and me. And we are here for a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us here, right in the studio, there he is. He's family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, thanks for coming in.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. What's going on with you?
Gary's yelling at me.
Come on.
How are you, Tom? What's going on?
Not much. Just sitting here doing a show.
So, you know, I want to talk tonight. This is family law, of course. I want to talk about restraining orders, Tom. You always tease about them.
I do.
There's no joke. there's a thing called the law of unintended consequences. And in the world that you have, you know, you can come up with something like a restraining order, and it's got a good purpose, and it's very logical. And, you know, you have someone like a stalker. This relates much more to, like, you know, movie stars, you know, when you have these people that follow celebrities around. There was always stories and about Cher having stalkers bothering her and, you know, these people that are obsessed. And then you had, like, the O.J. case, which defined a lot of the law, especially in California, you know, where you know, he had been married to her. They had gotten divorced, and then he was, like, following her and bothering her and doing things to her. And so in that context, the idea of the restraining order was, you know, very practical. It was this idea that you'd have this special order and the person had to stay away. And what ended up happening is it's just gotten completely out of hand, completely out of hand. One of the scariest scenes to me in the movies from, like, the World War II movies with the Nazis, with the SS, or like the Soviet Union movies, you know, where there's like a knock at the door and the secret police are there and they tell you, you know, get your things, you have 5 minutes, you know, or like, you know, you have to leave the house, you know, they're taking you or whatever. And, you know, you don't think that that's possible to happen in the United States, but it does happen. And what people don't realize is that the request for a restraining order can be made without giving notice to the person. It's an ex parte non notice, which means that your wife or your girlfriend, but by the way, you know, you talk about not getting married. This is something that can happen to you even if you're not married. Your girlfriend or whoever can go to court, get a restraining order against you. You don't have the chance to appear in court until later. So she gets it first, and then the hearing is many weeks later. And in the meantime, you're thrown out of your home. You can't necessarily see your kids. You can be restrained in various ways. And it's very shocking, and people can't even believe it has happened to them. It's actually now a very common way for a divorce to start. Now, I have a client now who we're gonna introduce to. I think Dino's setting him up. Gary's giving me the yes-no. He answered the phone when I called.
He's not there now, so right. Just keep going there.
Okay. We'll just keep trucking. I'll call him, Adam.
All right, give him another try.
Believe me, a third time.
He
called and then didn't say anything. It's a long story.
Okay, so. No problem. Well, anyway, I hope we get him. He did kind of what we talked about, Tom. He was with a crazy woman, excuse me, and he had a lot of red flags, and he stayed too long. And he knew that it was a good idea to get out or whatever. She did something, which it's wild. She was accusing him all the time of being unfaithful. She was always coming up with something crazy that he was cheating on her and that he was lying to her. And she just, you know, had this crazy kind of obsession all the time. She was going through all his things. Guys don't realize that, you know, when you are with a woman and she's nutty, she is, you know, looking through your stuff when you're not home. She is started digging through his files, and everything she found convinced her that he must have been cheating. And so she was bothering him about this all the time. And ultimately, he was sitting at home, and what happened was, you know, the police came to the door. And the police said, you have 10 minutes, get your stuff. And she's sitting there on the couch drinking lemonade, Tom.
Really?
Loving it, you know, thinking that she's, you know, superior or whatever. And, you know, and of course, you know, he didn't, as I said, get any notice. And, you know, it's his house, and they were married. But the truth is that wouldn't have made, you know, much of a difference. The way it works is that, you know, the restraining order's first, you're out of your house first, and then you have court in about 3 or 4 weeks where you have the chance to tell your side. What I also have experienced a lot in these cases is guys that don't even try to fight back. I mean, they feel like there's no hope for it. When I was doing this person's case, we're waiting for our case to be called. We saw several other cases prior, and they were guys just coming in, and the judge was saying, okay, sir, do you want to fight this restraining order request? And a lot of the guys just said no. I mean, they don't even fight back, Tom. They feel like there's no hope for it, you know? And so, you know, particularly there was one or two that had kids. So that automatically puts the guy on the defensive as far as visitation and custody goes. And it's just really the worst possible way that you can start a divorce, because all of the inferences are already against you. So in other words, when you start thinking about custody, and let's say you want joint custody, you want to be able to see your kids, you know, on a frequent basis, you know, your wife or, you know, ex-wife to be will always bring up, you know, there's a restraining order. There's a restraining order. He's got a restraining order, 3-year, 5-year, whatever restraining order. And that ends up, painting you very negatively in terms of how the court is going to view you. So you're already starting kind of with a handicap. And like I said, these guys were coming in and they were so resigned to it that they didn't even try to fight it. I mean, it's so sad to see that. It's so crazy. It's like you sort of, I don't know, lost before you even started. Awful.
A lot of people give up. A lot of people give up. Adam, your guest is here.
Oh, thank God. Let's put him on.
All right. His name, it says here, is Joe.
Okay. Joe, you
hey,
there?
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
Hey. We're having some trouble finding you.
There was a problem with the phone. It wasn't working.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad we got connected.
So I was starting to talk about what happened to you, Joe, and it's really crucial. I really appreciate you coming on. I know you had some mixed feelings about it, but I really want you to share your story with the boys. You know, this thing that happened to you is, you know, for me, out of one of these nightmare movies where the police come, bang on your door and just say, you know, grab a shirt and you're leaving. Get the hell out. You can't, you know, stay at your own home. That actually happened to you, right?
Right. You only, you know, see this in movies or read about it happening to other people, and you can't believe that this would happen to you. And to come home and just have a police car, two police cars pull up behind you with the lights on, and then one walk up to you and present you a restraining order and say you have 10 minutes to get everything and get out of the house and come back.
Can you believe it, Tom, that happens in America? Seriously.
Actually, I do.
Okay.
I don't like it, but I believe it.
It's so, if you think about our concepts of due process and fair hearing and all these processes you're supposed to have, to have it where you're first confronted with the police and they're telling you 5 minutes, get the hell out of your own home. Right, this is your house, right, Joe?
Oh, this is my house. I put my life savings into it, and I'm told I got to get out. And I'm thinking, you know, this can't be, the United States of America. It felt like Nazis were going to drag me off someplace. It was very demeaning, and I couldn't believe that this was happening.
Now, you had not even really known that she was doing this, right? This was all like in secret, basically.
Oh, yeah. This was part of her little conniving plan.
Right. Now, you knew you had some problems, right? You were going to go to therapy or something?
Well, yeah, we actually did. We tried going to therapy, and unfortunately, everything she was telling the therapist were lies, unfortunately. So.
Right.
There was no luck there.
I was saying she had this kind of neurotic jealousy or whatever.
Oh, she did. She just continuously always accusing me of cheating or I'm up to something. I know she knew I was living some type of double life. She was obsessed with me.
That's
and
wild.
She was going to find out what that was.
You know, it's very common. Guys tell me that, you know, their girlfriends or their wives are going through their cell phone or they're checking their laptop and looking at all the emails and text messages. And they're like almost desperately trying to find some, you know, evidence of cheating, you know, and without any reason to do that. It's not like they have any lipstick on the collar that like makes them start thinking that way. They just sort of go straight to that point. And, there's supposed to be some natural jealousy. There are some biological reasons for jealousy, you know, for men also, I'm sure. But, you know, it's like amazing when a person becomes really obsessed. And it seems like if she was jealous, that means that she like loves you so much. She doesn't want you to cheat. But I don't think that's even true. It just seems somehow jealousy and some kind of psychotic insanity in a woman's head that's based on no logic. And then if she's so jealous and she wants you so much, then why is she pushing you away and screwing up the marriage and ultimately restraining you from even being near her?
Exactly. I don't think it was anything normal. It was very abnormal, and I truly feel there's a mental illness as far as part of that. It takes a play in this because it was daily. And,
yeah.
And I should have... You know, seeing the writing on the wall, I had hopes that maybe it would go away or she'd eventually get over it, but
yeah,
it got worse, unfortunately.
People think, you know, that you can talk someone out of mental illness or you can, you know, wish it away. And, you know, one of the things that Tom always says is, you know, as men, we're not therapists. If someone has mental illness, they need to get treatment. You know, they need to get medicine or something. You know, they need to talk to a psychiatrist or psychologist. You know, hanging out with you and you being kind or bringing her chocolates or flowers or something is not going to fix mental illness.
No.
It's so pervasive. You know, it sticks. So anyway, in terms of our day in court, I really thought that this was something that I really want you to share. You know, before we came in, you know, our case being called, there were a couple of other cases that we got to, like, kind of observe, right?
Right.
And you remember these guys just throwing it away?
They were just, I mean, it's bad enough. You go into it, you already feel that the odds are in her favor. So to see these guys just saying, yes, Your Honor, I plead guilty or I'm not going to fight the restraining order. I mean, do they realize what they're doing? The everything that's involved as far as, you know, their future, as far as jobs. And then if there's a divorce involved, she definitely has the upper hand in this case.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, it's amazing how resigned they are to it. And your ex actually hired kind of a somewhat well-known kind of one of these feminist-type lawyers. So that was pretty disturbing to see. And tell about the hearing. She was unreal. She cried, right?
Oh yes, just like you said, she would.
She pulled out all the stops.
She pulled. Yes, exactly. I mean, you feel, oh my God, what's going to happen here? And sure enough, the show starts, and she's crying and telling her lies about how cruel I've been. And while she's saying that, I'm thinking I'm the one that should have been up there talking about how the mental abuse she put me through, but. And she put on a show, and then, you know, fortunately, I had you at my side, and also I had a great witness, my ex-wife, who was also gave a great testimony and added to my credibility, which also helped.
Right, right. I remember thinking, you know, quite a few times as it was going on, that it was looking pretty bad.
I thought the same.
She was describing not just one or two incidents, but she said that essentially several years of marriage had been, you know, pure hell for her, and how cruel you were. And I have to say, I think in the end, I think in some ways she overdid it.
Right, right. It became obvious that she was getting kind of mixed up with her stories.
Right. So in the end, to tell your surprise, tell what happened.
Well, the end, you're still wondering. You don't know for sure which way it's going to go. So all the testimonies are given, and you're thinking, is my life going to be ruined here, or do I still have a chance at you know, getting my life back somehow? And the judge, he was a very good judge and very fair, I think.
No, it's easy to feel that way because he decided what you wanted.
Of course.
But okay.
But he took all the testimonies into consideration, and when he said that, you know, the restraining order is no longer in effect, that was fantastic. And I can only imagine had I have gone into that situation without an attorney, which I actually did consider.
Really?
I thought for a second, for a while, I did. A friend of mine who's a great fan of Tom said, you've got to hear this guy. This is someone you really need to hire.
Right.
So I listened and I said, you know what? In this case, being that with the person who I'm dealing with, I think you're right. And yeah, it was great to walk out of that courtroom, you know, with victorious.
No, you were saying you actually weren't going to hire a lawyer. Was that to save money? Or what was your thinking?
Well, you know, I thought I didn't do those things she's claiming. So you know, let the truth. You know,
the truth will prevail.
Exactly. And
you see how the system is not rigged that way.
No, it's not. I realized that as we started to progress, and then the day we were sitting there in the courtroom, had I have not had an attorney with me, I really feel I'm done. It's already leaning towards her to begin with.
Yeah.
So.
I you know what's amazing, I don't want to identify you or whatever, but you know what kills me about her is she's a teacher, right?
Yes.
See, that that blows my mind. You know, when I think of the level of lies, the, you know, because I know the story from you and I've got the facts, and she was so full of it. She was such an actress, and the way she was able to manipulate it, where she could cry very much on cue and then immediately stop crying. So she would cry, then the judge would say something to her and she'd sober up immediately and answer, you know, very calmly, and then start crying again. I mean, she was actually kind of manipulative and brilliant at it in a way.
Oh, that did not surprise me.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like disturbing. You know, you don't think that hopefully your average woman, and you know, I'd like to think she was some kind of crazy model or actress or something, but here she is, you know, a junior high school teacher or whatever. That's like,
a high school teacher.
Yeah, come on. Oh my God. This is the woman guiding future generations here, you know?
Right, exactly.
And you know, you guys didn't have kids, thank God for that. But
no.
You know, when you look at the situation, you know, when you have a divorce, you know, even for a marriage it's not very long. You know, people fight over the house, and not only like who's going to get the value when you sell it, but who's going to live in the house while the divorce is going on. And obviously, when she puts a restraining order, that gives her the house. You know, it gets you kicked out. Usually there's an eviction process, and you have the right to hearings and all this kind of stuff when you get thrown out of an apartment or a house. But in this case, you know, you have the cops coming to, you know, two police cars, I guess,
right,
and telling you got 5 minutes, grab your stuff. So she gets to keep the house. She gets all your things in the house.
Right.
So I've had guys that had gold watches and rare guitars and all kinds of crazy stuff disappear, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the beauty of it all for the woman, there's no skin off her nose. The filing of the restraining order is free. Usually the case filings when you file for a divorce or a civil case are, you know, expensive. It's $400, $500, $600 or more. And, you know, court fees. Here, restraining order is free. She happened to use a lawyer, but, you know, you can do it without a lawyer. And you see how it favors the woman in a lot of ways. when the judge is reading her complaint, you know, and she words it, you know, obviously as brutally as she can, you're already dead. You know, it's like, you know, you hit her, you beat her up, you were cruel to her, you tormented her emotionally. I think she said you punched her in the I can't remember. It's like punched her in the butt. That was her thing.
Yeah, she said it punched her in the butt.
I don't even know what that even means. But the craziness of it is that, you know, to a person who's just reading it for the first time, doesn't know you, the judge, you know, looks at it and it sounds like really bad. It's he, you know, what could be worse, you know, nowadays than being called a child molester or a wife beater, you know?
Exactly.
Or, you know, you're a domestic abuser. You're the lowest of the low, you know?
Yeah. Nobody wants that label hanging
out. Yeah. And then we come into court, and the judge is already hearing her side of it. He's already read it, and then he's looking at you, and he's like, you piece of crap. What do you have to say for yourself? You know? And you're like, oh, I didn't do it, you know? It's just like, come on. We already know the story. Don't tell me you didn't do it. Look what's going on here. So I just think that's very, very wrapped up in it. And, you know, we were able to dismiss the restraining order because we fought it. And it was, I think, a cliffhanger. I think it could have gone either way. I know that I presented it well and you presented well. You came to court wearing a suit, right? That was great.
Yeah.
Now, think of the cruelty of that, right? Because she had all your suits.
Well, yeah, I have like 8 suits and they're all in my closet at my house. So
right.
You made it very clear. It's important to wear a suit in the court regardless.
Yeah, but you said to me, I remember we were talking about this like the day before, and you said, well, what the hell am I going to do? I don't have, I mean, I've got 8 suits or whatever, 10 suits, whatever, but they're in the house that I don't have access to. So I don't know, where am I going to get a damn suit from? And I said to you, dude, I don't care. Just get a suit, borrow it, or go to Goodwill. I mean, that's a factor. I think that one of the reasons we succeeded was because you look good. You know, you look professional. You look like you're taking it seriously. We saw a lot of other people, right, wearing T-shirts and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. They're just wearing anything.
Well, that's really ignorant. That's really a shame. I think the judge is already feeling that you're showing disrespect to the process, you know?
Right, right.
And when you look at the way it goes from the judge's point of view, I mean, we saw, what, maybe 15, 20 other cases, and he granted almost all of them.
Yes.
It's just like boom, boom, boom. Yep, restraining order. And then he said, how many years you want? And the woman's like, I want 5 years. Okay, 5 years. like it's nothing, right? And people don't realize that's you know, losing your ability to have a gun. That's going to be in a computer file against you. That's going to affect your divorce. If you work in an office, you know, they're not going to be able to keep you in an office with women if you've got a restraining order, you know, for beating up your kids or your wife or whatever.
Yeah, that's not something I wanted hanging over me at all.
Yeah, yeah. And if you think about someone who has any kind of a guarding job or law enforcement, you're not allowed to have a gun. So
right.
What the hell do you do then? If you're a police officer, I've known people that were married to police officers and tried to get restraining orders against them. That would have been pretty much the end of their career for several years at least.
Career's over. You got to find something else.
Yeah, yeah. Now, talk about your experience in terms of staying too long. I think that's a very also important thing to learn from your case. When we talk about, you know, she took the initiative. She filed a restraining order. Until that point, you were trying to, like, work things out, whatever that means. But you
exactly.
had a lot of indications, right?
There were many signs, I mean, very early in the marriage, where she had been accusing me and trying to go into my phone, as far as I purchased a cell phone for her, and I was the manager of the account, and she called them using my Social Security number and twisted around, so she was the manager of the account, and she received all my
nice.
Text messages, all of my emails, and
wow.
had total access, knew exactly where I was at all times.
Now, isn't it ironic that, isn't that stalking?
Yeah, yes.
Seriously?
I never looked at it that way. But
no, but if you think about somebody going into your file, they're taking over your account, reading all your emails, reading all your text messages, I mean, that's being kind of obsessive and stalkerish towards you.
Yes. Yes.
And here she is crying that you're doing it to her, you know?
Yeah. And this was, I believe, like 3-4 months into our marriage where she had done that.
Yeah. I know a guy I read about who had been dating a woman who was very, very jealous, like you're talking about your ex-wife, and she was driving him crazy, accusing him. And so what he did was is he married her because he was going to show her that she didn't have to worry, you know, that he thought that by marrying her, he would show his level of commitment and then she wouldn't be worried and jealous anymore. But apparently it only made it worse.
It escalated.
Yeah. I mean, people don't understand mental illness. I mean, she's not going to snap out of it. You know, as men, we're thinking rationally, and that's one of our weaknesses.
You know, she was, I couldn't stay late at work, or, you know, she had to know where I was. Or if I was late, I was obviously cheating. I was with someone else.
Oh, God.
It was just endless.
Unbelievable.
If I took too long to answer the phone, if there were too many rings, I was talking to somebody else. Who were you talking to?
Crazy.
It was just, there were a lot of signs then that I should have picked up on, and I should have reacted a lot sooner.
In her testimony, you know, in the hearing, she was saying how she didn't want to have a divorce and she wanted to make the marriage work. And you hear women say things like that all the time, you know? And it's amazing how they trick themselves. You know, that here she's doing these things that are guaranteeing your marriage is not going to work and guaranteeing that you're going to get a divorce. And she's even initiating it, you know, in terms of the restraining order and a divorce. And yet she herself believes that she's completely committed to the marriage. She really believes it. And she's saying, the last thing I want is a divorce. I was in court the other day and this woman sitting next to me started talking to me about this. And she was saying how resentful she was that she was getting a divorce and how it's the last thing she ever wanted to experience in her life. And her friends had been divorced or her mother had been divorced and she didn't want to be divorced. And she was so angry at her husband about it. And then she started talking to me, and it was one of these things that Tom talks about where she didn't cook, she didn't clean, she wasn't home, she was uninvolved. I mean, so I said to her, you know, are you shocked that your husband wants out, you know? And she had never made that leap of logic at all. It never had occurred to her. So she was bitching about, like, you know, she wants to keep her marriage together and not understanding any of the things that she would have had to do to make that be true. And, you know, you talk to people who say things that are just disconnected logically, and it's amazing. Your ex was so much like that.
Right.
And to be able to then, you know, come in and try to be the victim to gain sympathy and so forth, it's really amazing.
Right.
And
she definitely tried it.
What kills me also is your marriage is so short.
Right.
Where you were sort of immediately having these problems with her and, you know, just getting weirder and weirder month by month.
Yes.
I don't know what to say about that. Did you miss the signs?
No, you know what, the signs were there, but I had, you know, hopes that, and I'm ashamed of myself that I did not react. I know the logical side of me said, you know what, this is nuts. This is not normal. There's mental illness. There's something not right. You need to throw in the towel. It's just never going to get better. But yet, then there's this other side that's telling you, oh no, it'll get better. It'll go away eventually. You know, become more confident in you know, in the marriage, and it'll go away. But that was not the logical side, and I should have listened to the logical side because it got worse.
And you had a voice in your head, right?
You're right.
No, seriously. I mean, you had.
I did. I would think it through and say, you know, this is not normal.
Right.
But then there's the side that says, come on. You've already invested so much in this marriage. You got to make it work. You got to give it. Yeah.
I like when people talk about this sense that the time that they've spent is an investment, which it really isn't. I don't see how people say that.
Well, even if it is, when you make a bad investment, you have to cut your losses.
Right. Cut your loss.
You know, I know people who say, well, I bought this stock at 100 and now it's down to 50. I say, well, you better get out. Well, no, I've been with it so long.
Right.
I want to see if I can turn this around.
Right.
And it's the same thing with marriages.
Yeah, but Tom, if you got 7 shitty years, you're going to say, I've got 7 years invested? I've got to make it turn around? Give me a break.
Yeah.
I'd be crying over the 7 years. And anyway,
exactly right.
to wrap this up, This is something my old friend Art Webb taught me. This certainly applies to this situation, I think, Joe. It was crazy in the head, crazy in the bed.
Yeah,
crazy in the head, crazy in the bed. Yes,
right.
That saying is true.
So part of this is that she was wild, right?
Yeah, she was just a wild Latin.
Yeah. There you go. See, that gets you every time, Tom.
Apparently, borderline personality disorder.
It was not worth the price.
Say, seriously, the borderline personality disorder women, which are plentiful in Los Angeles, are the craziest of the crazy. And, you know, seriously, in terms of the dealing with them or treating them, there was actually something I posted on my Facebook today about a young woman who had borderline personality. It's hopeless. It's really hopeless. And, you know, when you have this chick and she's hot and she loves sex and she's all over the place, it's exciting. And guys think, you know, somehow you can calm her down or whatever. That ends up being a nightmare to deal with, a nightmare. And,
I think, unfortunately, that's something, if it's never ever corrected, and I don't know if it can be,
no.
It's something she's going to carry through her other relationships.
Well, I think she was saying that to us. She talked about, I think she was married once before, as I recall.
Yes.
Yeah, I think she was sort of alluding to that this had been something that had dogged her in her past.
Right.
Well, anyway, listen, I really appreciate you calling. Thank you.
It was my pleasure.
And what do you think, Tom?
What do I think about what? I mean, right. I've been listening to this story. Put it this way. You know, now, especially where I'm at the first sign of trouble, I'm out.
Yeah.
Out.
Good advice.
Yeah, well, you know, it could have happened to you, Tom, even if you weren't married. I mean, this restraining order is, you know, not only for
married
couples.
Oh, when I say I'm out, I'm not talking about divorce. I'm talking about, you know, figuratively anyway, the tip of my boot is about to hit your butt.
Unbelievable. Well, anyway, so that was a good one.
Wow. Joe, thank you so much for your time. What an amazing story.
Crazy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
appreciate Jeff. It. There goes Joe. Wow.
So real quick, Tom, do you want to go to break or can I tell you another story, brief one?
Why don't we go to the break? Because we haven't taken a break.
Okay.
And then you'll tell us a story.
All right.
Let's do it. Adam Sachs is here. This is family law attorney Adam Sachs with your questions. And you call this number right now. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM is our number. 901-3000-866.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000-TOM, that's our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM. Call us right now at 901-3000-866. All right, now before we take any more calls here, Adam, you had another story you wanted to tell us.
Yes, a quick one. Very interesting. Tom, you'll appreciate this. I got a frantic comment from Mesa Bob. You know that show we were talking about last week tonight with John Oliver?
Yes.
You know, it's a great show, and they've had some really interesting things about, like, Washington, D.C. being a state, and they had things about the IRS and how important it is to collect taxes or whatever. Very controversial, interesting topics that aren't usually discussed, you know? And you'll love it, Tom. You know what it was this week, in the past couple of days? It was public defenders. Now, you'll recall last week and recently I've made comments about how overworked they are and how difficult it is. And this is, I mean, we were like ahead of the curve as always, Tom. This is exactly what John Oliver's show was about. He did a whole thing on public defenders. Apparently, the state guidelines in California suggest that they ought to have less than 150 cases a year, and most of them have more than 1,000 cases a year.
Yes, it was three cases a day with no days off. That's what
right.
He said.
And he was saying that in general, they have about 7 minutes to look at a case and decide to get you to plead guilty or whatever. And the guy made the joke that 7 minutes is actually shorter than the Billy Joel song, Scenes from an Italian Restaurant.
That's right.
I thought that was great.
Exactly.
And anyway, so they were talking about that whole concept and how, you know, this exact thing that we talk about, where I tell people that the public defender immediately wants you to plead guilty and doesn't really know what to do, doesn't make an effort, doesn't investigate the case. They said that most of them don't have investigators. And, I mean, this is just absolutely incredible because it's exactly the issue that we were talking about. And people misunderstand me in this. I had people tell me, you know, my brother's a public defender and he tries really hard and he's a good person and he's a good lawyer. And I don't doubt that at all. They actually had a guy. This was wild. He was from, I think, Texas. He was a public defender.
Right.
And what he did was every time he won a case, he would frame it and put it up on the wall. And every time he lost a case, he would consider that like a personal failing. And he would tattoo the guy's name on his back of the loss.
Really?
Yeah. So he had like five tattoos on his back as like sort of, you know, tattoos of shame for the cases that he had lost, you know? And, you know, so he wasn't like a bad guy. And I'm not saying that public defenders are assholes or something, but just looking at the reality in terms of the amount of work they have to do and the amount of cases they have and the caseload and the pressure that they're under, they're just not going to do a very good job. That's the bottom line. It was really sad to see. They showed a couple of cases of really, really destitute people, homeless people and poor people that got very, very unfair outcomes where they had stupid things, you know, driving without a license, things like that. And they ended up serving 9 months or a year in jail because they didn't have money for fines and they didn't have a public defender, or they even had a public defender. And then, believe it or not, it's not necessarily free. There are ways that the state can actually bill you for your public defender. And so the guy thought he was getting a free public defender, and then he ended up getting a bill for it that he couldn't afford to pay. Stupid things like that. Crazy.
Which I thought was the purpose of a public defender. It's supposed to be if you can't afford a public defender.
Can you imagine getting a public defender, thinking that it's free, so that's the thing that you have, losing the case, and, you know, because he tells you to plead guilty, so then about a month later, you get a bill for the services of that public defender. You know, and it could be like, you know, thousands of dollars, and then they also bill you, get this, for the prosecution. So in other words, you have to pay the cost of the prosecutor that prosecuted you.
Jesus.
That's pretty incredible. Again, this is like what I was talking before with that person that called my client. You know, you don't expect these things to happen in the United States, and they do. It's amazing how twisted things have become in so many different aspects of our lives. And it falls, you know, most brutally on the people that can least afford it.
Unbelievable. But, yeah, I know it's true. I know it's true. We have a caller here. Let's take him.
Okay.
We have Michael in Torrance. This is family law attorney Adam Sachs answering your legal questions at 901-3000-TOM. Michael, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam. Hello.
Hello, Tom. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Michael.
Hello.
Up?
How you guys doing? Listen, you know, we've met before, and I was telling you one time, Adam, about recently, because I'm a registered guard of the state of California, so I have to do some certification training. One of the things we have to do is take a de-escalation anger management course.
Okay.
And I had to spend 6 weeks in it doing it for an hour and a half each. And I went there, and there was a whole bunch of other people there that were not there for education, but they were there for court remanded or just got out of prison.
Wow.
Over the 6 weeks I was there, there was probably 60 guys that came through there, and 90% of them had the exact same situation you were talking about, Adam.
Which one?
Where they would get into an argument with their wife, or something would go down, and the wife would instigate most of it, and then they would end up, they got arrested, thrown in jail. And some of them went to prison for it, and then they come back out, and they had to go take a year or 2 years
right.
of anger management, 200 sessions of anger management and community service. And the women ended up getting control of their cars, their houses, their kids, everything. And then some of these women, like the Voinov case from the Kings, went back and even said, oh, I don't want to do nothing to do this. And they still went through with it.
Well, that's okay. That's a very important distinction. You have to know that. I've gotten in many an argument with someone who calls me, and they're in a very, very messed up situation with domestic violence and so forth, and they're telling me the story, and they say, listen, Adam, you know, I don't know if I'm going to hire you because my wife is going to drop the charges, you know?
Yep.
And I tell them, listen, your wife cannot drop the charges. And that just defies their imagination, you know? They say, what do you mean? She, you know, we worked it out. She's dropping the charges. And what people don't understand is that the prosecution is done by the state. So it's separate. Yep. And they have the statements when it happened. They have the police at the scene, you know, and when your wife was crying and screaming at the beginning or whatever it was, plus physical evidence, let's say. And the police are going to be the ones that testify against you. And so if, you know, she comes in then and says, look, I don't want to proceed, they have laws now that stop her from being able to do that. Because they were saying that, yep, you know, in the past, women would routinely come the next day, bail out the husband, and then drop the charges, and they'd have this cycle of violence.
Yep.
So now she doesn't have the right to drop the charges. They will proceed without her testimony, without her cooperation. And this is just how it is. And
yeah,
when you talk about these anger management classes and stuff, I mean, that is a cottage industry.
Oh.
And you definitely have someone like you, let's say, who's doing some kind of, you know, quasi law enforcement guarding or whatever. So they want you to go to that kind of a class. And, you know, there are people that go to AA voluntarily, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous and other kinds of classes like that. But then there's this thing that you're talking about where they make it mandatory, where they take a guy who got involved with domestic violence with his wife and they, yep, make him go to two classes a week for a year or whatever. And to not go is very serious. That's violating a court order. And, you know, our own dad here, Tom Likas, was required to take classes like that also. And
yep,
it's crazy. You know, it's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the worst things, and I mean, this kills me the worst. And like you said, I'm not saying women deserve to get hit, whatever, please, okay? But, you know, there are two people involved. It takes two to tango, okay?
Yeah.
And you talk about the wife instigating or whatever. I don't know who started. It doesn't matter. The reality is that they have a synergy. And if they're going to continue their relationship, or even if they don't, these kinds of people end up getting into the same kinds of relationships again and again. It's amazing how they take the man, they put him in the class, and he has to go three times a week, which is a joke. And he has to admit that he's an asshole. But the wife, because she's the victim, is totally innocent as fresh drawn snow. She doesn't have to go to classes or do anything.
Yeah, well, it's $40 a class, too, Adam. Now, I
told you, it's a cottage industry. It's big money.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's amazing. I get mine reimbursed through my payroll stuff, but once I complete everything, it's fine. But
you're not doing on a court ordered basis.
No, I'm there. It was a 6-week course. I had to take it. It's part of what they do now because of 9/11. We get certified on everything. They farm some of this stuff out. We do some of it in house. They have some of us, or we can do it on the outside as long as we can do it in our schedule. So I get reimbursed for it, you know. And so it was great. I got it done. But the thing that struck me was that most of these guys, and Tom, you got to hear this. Most of these guys are expecting to go back to their wives.
Oh, hell yeah.
Get back in the house and
think it's
not going to happen again.
How's it not going to happen again?
And it's, you hear their stories, and I went through my own divorce situation years ago with my, you know, I've told you guys about before. These women have figured out how to fuck us. That's the bottom line. They are castrating us. And, you know, the more and more I stay with Tom and you guys listening to it, it's like, I don't want nothing to do with these women. These women are crazy, man. They're going to take everything from me, including your life. And these guys, I sat there and told them about the next to last night, and I said to him, you know what, guys? I sat here and listened to you guys for several weeks about your wife, and how you want to go back, you want to get your kids. I think it's admirable, but I'm going to tell you something. You're no less than a man for not going back to your wife and just breaking it off and getting custody of your kids and seeing them on the weekends. I'm going to tell you right now, because those women are going to put you away and get your money, and you're never going to be able to do what you want to do. And they just sat there and looked at me, and the next week I came back, because the last week I was there, and they're like, man, I really thought about what you said, you know. And I said, well, I'm just telling you, man. I even told him, you guys should be listening to Tom Likas. I gave him your apps and everything. I moved your apps over because people could start listening. But so what my question is, Adam.
No, but think about how women want control. I mean, this is a way to get control.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this question, though. I mean, is there – I probably know the answer, but I'm going to ask it for the sake of everybody here. But what can we do if we want to be – I mean, is there anything we could do to be around this opposite sex without having this kind of castration going on? I mean, at this point in history, or what do you think?
No,
don't marry them. Don't let them move in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even being around them, Tom, you don't want to be them. You know, I was at a seminar the other night with a bunch of relationship stuff like that, and these women get up and whine and cry about it, and the leader, I've told you who she is, Tom. She's on Monday nights in West L.A., and she told them, you need to shut your mouth. And the women just don't get it. They just don't get it.
Yeah,
but
maybe that's female nature, you know, to complain. But when you look at the consequences of it today, it's a lot different. And it ends up being crazy. You know, Tom got in this little tiff with his, you know, wife at the time. And she's going, I'm going to call the cops. I'm going to call the cops. In the morning, you know, she doesn't even remember what she did. But she started a chain of things that can't then be stopped.
Yep.
I can't believe that these guys are, you know, you got to give them credit. They're so forgiving that they're only imagining, I'll do this class and I'll be back with my wife. I mean, I wouldn't be able to look at her after that. I'd be so angry.
Well, like I said, Adam, that's what I said to him. One thing I've learned about being around Tom and you guys, first of all, you got to protect yourself as a person, as a man. But you also, you're not less than a man because you don't have a wife or you don't have a girlfriend. You know, I have a 13-year-old son. It's tough on him, but I've told him, you don't need a girlfriend. I was with some kids this weekend, and a couple of the boys are 13, 14 years old, and they're like, oh, yeah, I got a girlfriend. I said, what do you got a girlfriend for? And one of the mothers said, yeah, you don't need a girlfriend until you're at least 35. And I said, oh, now maybe that's one I should probably
there
date
you go.
There.
But if
the
then.
Is, at least she's got the right idea, but you know, you're just no less than that. You can have fun in your life, play guitar, you know, go to the ball games, and when you need a little, either hire one and pay her when you leave or get a quick one and get out. But don't hang out with them because they – they just, I see it too many times, Adam. You probably see it a lot, you know, with your, but just this, these women have known how to crank us down as men and pretty much almost kill us. And I think, and I want to say this one thing to you, I think when a domestic violence thing happens, both the people should be taken in, they should both be booked, they should both be put into the system, and they should both go to anger management, they should both go to, you know, there's PACT and all those other things with family law and all that stuff, but I don't know if that goes very far with people. I think people just sit there and sleep in it. But something that gets them long-term where they're so annoyed that they got to go on a regular basis over the weeks and pay the money that they finally turn around and listen. And I saw these guys over the weeks that I was there. I even caught myself learning a lot by being there, like, whoa, it's just for my own personal situation that there's a lot to learn about how to de-escalate yourself and remove yourself from situations so you don't stay there, or you just walk away. Like, it's no big deal. It's just air coming out of someone's mouth, but you have to get kind of an education and understanding for that. So
yeah, but wait a second. Wait a second.
If
you
nice to see if the
I understand, but if you go back to that sick relationship, I understand what you're saying. You learn de-escalation and conflict resolution. It's all very nice, but if you immediately then are going back to your wife, and she knows how to antagonize you, and this is something that she's been doing instinctively for years, and it's worked very well for her. So that's a lot of reinforcement to keep doing it. Yeah. I don't see how putting only one of you in the class is ever going to get any kinds of results.
No, you're right. It makes you tired. Makes you just don't want to do it.
Tom, we said you did this kind of a class, right?
I did it for 6 months.
Okay, so let me ask you this. When it was all said and done, you basically resented it, right?
I not only resented it, it had the opposite effect because I saw guys who were really dangerous, and I knew that in comparison, what I did was nothing, absolutely nothing. But unless I admitted falsely to being like these guys, they told me I'd never get out. I'd be in that class forever.
Yeah, see... I don't even know what to say about that, man.
Well, there's no price to pay. Women don't have a price to pay like men do right now in this, and that's why I'm saying somewhere along the line, I've heard of things, and I don't know because I've never had the personal experience, but I've heard of people say now when there's domestic violence and there's the cops show up, they'll take them both in. And I don't know if that's true.
No, that's not true.
Yeah.
And what Tom says is really true. When you look at the situation, you come out of this class that's supposed to help you, and it's supposed to reform you, and it's supposed to give you a new lease in life. If you come out feeling nothing but anger and resentment, it hasn't worked. I don't think you can force people to do things. I think that.
By the way, if you are a violent type and you're feeling anger when you get out, what do you think you're going to do next time you're in a tense situation?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and Tom, there is a lot of drugs and alcohol, and they're dealing with life and they're depressed. I mean, guys really get down on themselves. One thing I've learned about even in the family law world and with this and seeing this particular snapshot is men just, they go through a rough time because they get so caught up in their ego that they have to be a strong man who hangs in there, takes on the bitch, you know, doesn't take shit from the bitch, doesn't listen to her, you know, he takes the lead. And these women just, they recognize it and they know how to stand right in front of you and scream and yell until you finally just say, because you're so, it rips your heart out, you just finally say, get back. You know, even if you just touch them, you just flinch in their direction. Some of these guys threw water on the women and they got thrown.
The best
crazy,
is, my one second, my favorite is the woman who comes at the guy nails first, right? And
yeah.
You got women with long freaking nails with acrylic and all that shit. And the guy grabs her by the wrists in order to stop her, to defend himself. He's not hitting her. He's holding her wrists. And what ends up happening is that she ends up getting finger marks and, like, bruise marks. That's it. See you later, alligator.
There was guys in there, Adam, that, I mean, don't get me wrong, the stories, here's the thing. The guy that did this thing, that facilitated, so this is what he does all year long.
Can you imagine? And, by the way,
he goes
forgive
their
me.
Cases
Can you
and
imagine?
He calls their lawyers to find out exactly what he has. And he was telling us, because there was another couple guys in there that were part of my company that were there too, and he knew what we were there for. But he goes and looks at their cases because he wants to know what he's got in the room. If he's got some guy that really is that violent, he won't even take him.
Right.
But he says that there was two guys in there that just screamed and yelled at their women and got battery and assault and got thrown in jail, went through the system, lost their kids, the whole thing. And you're sitting there just going, really? You know, it's... It scares the shit out of you, especially because I have a child and I got six more years before my kid's an adult. But still, it's dealing with these people is these women. They have certainly found a way to get the control.
Well, more than one. Michael, good call. Thank you. Appreciate that. We're going to come back and tell you how you can get in touch with Adam. Don't go anywhere.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. And Adam Sachs is here, family law attorney Adam Sachs. How can people get in touch with you?
Give me a call. My toll-free number, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email, which I read and answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
There you go. Now, if you missed any part of the hour, if you were listening on a podcast, if you're listening on demand, don't worry. Adam is here every Tuesday, and there'll be another Adam Sachs visit coming up this Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Me, Chuck.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beards.
I love you, Harry.
Beer Magazine, time for some old school Gary and Dino nude in the news.
Yay.
Erin Andrews says she's still haunted by that nude video of her that was leaked, taken by a very creepy stalker in a hotel room.
You know, I'm haunted by it, too.
I am, too. Every time I see her, it haunts me.
I know.
She gave a new interview with Redbook. looking as good as she's ever had, by the way.
I know you guys goof on her sometimes.
That's my kind of girl right there.
I saw her in person. I'm telling you.
I don't care if she's, you know, doesn't belong on the sideline or anything like that. That doesn't matter to me.
Emmy, just say, I'm not saying no. Ever.
Oh, there's no way.
She's like 10 feet tall, too. It's crazy.
What was the story behind that guy? He was like, he was
following her from city to city, and he'd get the adjacent
right next
hotel room, and our friend bored a hole in the wall, and then done.
I'd bore a hole in the wall.
Bored did the hole in the wall.
Of a penis.
Our friend meant some business.
Game of Thrones star Emilia Clarke says that most nude scenes on TV are gratuitous. She apparently has a problem.
Yeah,
I've understood are pretty hot nude scenes. I've never watched Game of Thrones.
Situation. Neither have I. But I've listened to this in great detail. People that actually watch the show, and it turns out the first couple of seasons she had no problem nooning it up.
No.
And now things done change. She wants to be serious, a lot like our girl Emily Ratajkowski. She is tired of the blurred lines and everybody looking at her tits, and now she's done a U-turn and say, well, I want to be taken serious.
Right.
Well, go with what you know.
She says, I don't want to have sex thrown in my face, and I've always thought the suggestion is so much more titillating than the act itself. Well, you just haven't had the act itself correctly, I guess. Right? How is the suggestion of sex is more titillating than the act itself? I don't know. Most sex scenes you see on films or TV are gratuitous, and they're usually just to attract an audience. Yes, that's what the fucking business is about.
And that's why you're even saying the name Emilia Clarke. Emilia Clarke. Now she doesn't want to be known as the nude. Too bad.
There are other women who remove items of clothing on our show, so they're kind of got my nipple countdown now. Oh, so now they're waiting for other women to get nude?
Right.
Oh.
She told that to the Hollywood Reporter. She is thinking of herself very highly, and I have to say
that
it's time to shut that down immediately. I'm just tired of it.
Authorities say a Maine man broke into a home while naked and punched a 65-year-old resident 3 times in the face. It's 43-year-old Jonathan Chote.
You know, I'm looking at the Chote, and, if he busted my house with the nude and punched me in the face, he'd have to dodge some lead.
Your boy thought he was in an entirely different town with a woman, not a dude, and can't figure out how he got there and how he got nude.
Can we bet on possibly seeing some bath salts in all this? Is that possible? Because it doesn't make any sense. You're in a completely different town. The bed you jumped into is not a woman, it's a dude, and you're nude. Trouble.
This is crazy. Teens who take nude selfies of themselves can actually be treated as sex offenders for taking nude selfies of themselves and having them on their own phone.
Exactly, because, again, you are essentially at risk of distributing child porn, because if you're under 18 and you take the nakedness, that's child pornography.
That's some crazy-ass shit. We
basically
all got to agree on that, right?
The definition of child pornography, or to be charged, it typically requires possessing nude photos for sexual purposes. Possessing a nude photo of yourself basically fits that definition if you think about it.
Fucking crazy. Rare stills from Marilyn Monroe's iconic nude calendar shoot from the 1950s, apparently worth $6 million. We've all kind of seen versions of most of these shots. Taken in 1949, she agreed to do them at the age of 22 years old because she was so busted, she agreed to do them for $50.
Yep. And now look at how much they're going for. It's just like those dudes, the Rembrandt and all those guys. They paint all this awesome shit, and it's like, here's $20, okay, thanks. And then now it's going for tens of millions of dollars.
Just like Kim Kardashian, once everybody got a load of them fuckers, all of a sudden she, her stardom catapulted, and then she ended up on the cover of Playboy and everything else.
$50 for the nude photos, and then the photographer then turned and sold them for $900.
Now they're worth $6 million.
Now $6 million.
Is it like the original color separation, like, original film shit?
It was when she was the different name. I forget her real name.
Whatever. Yeah. I remember well.
I have a poster.
Right next to Farrah Fawcett.
And don't forget Cheryl Teague, stupid. And every other older girl that everybody does know.
Finally, wildfires running rampant here in California.
True.
Terrible situation happening up north where homes, 400 at least, 61,000 acres destroyed. But what's really hitting home is apparently a nude hot springs in Middletown, California has been burned down. A nude hot springs, everybody.
Wow. The Valley Fire has wreaked havoc, yes. Basically 61,000 acres, and including our friends up there in Lake County's Harbin Hot Springs.
Harbin Hot Springs.
Yeah.
A clothing optional hot springs.
It is. This actually, a holistic center. Yeah. It's a nonprofit operated by our friends at the Heart Consciousness Church. They had to be fucking taken out of there. Harbin's website reads, photo and video have circulated online showing the destruction of the main retreat buildings, and the area is unrecognizable. That said, it appears that the historic pools in which people get nudes and jumps in, they still exist. So don't worry about that. The nude pools are still intact.
Jesus Christ, dude. Wait, it is a church? Is it
the Church of Consciousness.
Consciousness.
Heart Consciousness Church.
Yeah. Finally, a pick alert for you. You don't want to see it. I don't know why Dino sent it to me. But
I know what you're going to do.
It's Paula Deen in a robe. She's like, they do this right, like two blocks away from my apartment at CBS Television City. And, you know, these Dancing with the Stars people, they walk from trailers to trailer and all this other shit. There's Paula Deen in a robe, and it's open, and you can see just how saggy her tits are. I mean, fried eggs in
now,
the worst
I
way.
I think you're being unnecessarily harsh.
You just want her to make you breakfast.
Big time. And Timpson loves eggs, so he shouldn't be laughing either. Our girl could crank an egg out like nobody's business.
There's no doubt about it. Yeah. Plenty of butter.
If you want to be unnerved, Paula Deen in a robe, it's bad, folks.
Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino. Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find a brand new show every single Friday. Just go to GaryandDino.com to download it. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
Hey, Tom. Me and Ann Hunter really think things are like this.
Ann Hunter.